In his book, Letters to the Church, author Francis Chan writes these words. One of the elders of my church, Rob, spent most of his life in gangs. He encountered Jesus when he was imprisoned and placed in solitary confinement. Today, he is one of the most loving people I know. In fact, I'm not sure I know of anyone who loves Jesus and people as well as he does. Rob tells me stories of gang life and the fear he felt when he left his gang to join the body of Christ. To do this in prison can be suicidal. He had to make a serious break with his gang, and gangs are anything but casual about breaking those ties. But the Lord intervened to spare his life. It wasn't just the physical torture or death he feared. He dreaded the rejection by those he loved. The gang was his family. These were loyal and dear friends who looked out for him 24 hours a day. There was a love and a camaraderie from being in a gang that he enjoyed since childhood. Now he would lose those relationships and be hated by them all. When Rob described gang life, much of it sounds like what the church was meant to be. Obviously, there are major differences, like drugs and murder and, you know, those little details. But the idea of being a family is central to both gang life and God's design for the church. Yet while we use family terminology in our churches, Rob's stories have convinced me that the gangs have a much stronger sense of what it means to be a family than we do in the church. From what you know about gangs, could you ever imagine gang life being reduced to a weekly one-hour gathering? No group would meet briefly once a week and call that a gang. Imagine one gang member walking up to another one and saying, "Yo, how was gang? I had to miss this week because life has been crazy." We know enough about gangs to know that's ridiculous. And yet every week we hear Christians asking each other, "How was church?" Something that God has designed to function as a family has been reduced to an optional meeting. And this has become normal. A gang member will tell you his homies have his back. They're there for him. They're loyal, committed, prepped. Meanwhile, in many churches, you have about as much of a connection to the people who are supposedly your spiritual family as you would to someone who visited the same movie theater as you. End of quote. Well, wow. We are in a series of messages that I've entitled, "I Love the Church." And when I say that, you remember, we're not talking about a building. And we're not talking about a brand of Christianity. And we're not saying that we love everything that goes on in churches. What we're talking about when I say I love the church, I love the people of God. I love the people that have come in saving faith to Jesus Christ and are true believers, the true Christians all around the world that make up the church. I love the church. And I love also not just all the true believers all around the world that make up Christ's church, but I love the local manifestation of that, which we call the local church. And he called me crazy, but I love the church with all its organization, with all its leaders, with its elders and its deacons. I love that. And all the other church leaders and its prayer meetings and its, I love its fellowships. I love its get-togethers. I love its evangelistic outreaches. I love its working together as a team for Christ in different ministries. I love Sunday school. I love the different Bible studies, small groups. I love it. Call me crazy. But I love this church. I really do. And that's what we're talking about. I'm sharing with you in these messages. Why do you love the church? Why do you love the church, Pastor? And we've seen already, I love the church, first of all, because it is the body of Christ with Christ as our head. I love that. We're the vessel through whom God has chosen to work in this world, the body of Christ. And we saw last week, I love the church because we are the temple of God. Yes. We're the temple of God. And Christ is the cornerstone of the temple. And this morning, I want to share with you another reason why I love the church. And so if you look on your outlines, I love the church because the church is the family of God. The family of God. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We want to take a look at this morning. I love the church because it is the family of God. Ephesians 2, 19. There we read these words. Ephesians 2, 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are the God's household. God's household. That means God's family. John MacArthur writes, as if being members of his divine kingdom were not enough, God's gracious work in Christ draws us even closer and makes us members of God's household. And then he says, we are fellow family members. Amen. We're the family of God. Again, you can put down 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul writing to Timothy, he tells him the purpose of the letter. He says, these things I write unto you, that one may know how to conduct himself in the household of God, in God's family, in God's family. Or over in Galatians 6, you remember, it says that do not lose heart in doing good. For you, in due season, you will reap if you faint not. So as you get opportunity, do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Household of God, household of faith, actually. Fooled you. Okay. Household of faith. We're God's household. And it tells us that in the scripture. What's the implications here? Well, if we're God's household, and we're in God's family, he calls us children of God. You remember in John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right or power or authority to become what? Children of God or sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. We are children of God. 1 John 3:1-2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. Beloved, now, not when we get to heaven, now we are the children of God. The children of God. Or Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. And the Spirit himself bears witness or testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. And a children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Praise God. We are children of God. By the way, let me just stop here. How did we get to be children of God? How did we get into God's family? Were we born into God's family, or were we adopted into God's family? How many think born into God's family? Raise your hand. One person. Two people. How many think adopted into God's family? How many think both? Well, I'll tell you, actually, we were born into God's family. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3? Truly, truly, I say to you, you must be born again. You've got to be born. Not just of, you've got to be born of the water and the Spirit, right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You get into your earthly family by birth. You're born of the flesh. You get into your spiritual family, you're born of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit into the family. But when we're born into the family of God, God adopts us. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit which cries out, Abba, Father. You see, we are born into God's family, but when we're born in, he adopts us. Now, it's not exactly the same as what we have adoption today. What that means is he gives us the full rights of an adult son in his family when we come into the family of God. So we have been born of God, born of the Holy Spirit, and then he gives us, through adoption, he gives us full rights as adult children in his family. Praise God. And what does that mean? That means if you're saved here today, if you're a guy here today and you're saved, you're my brother. You're a lady here today and you're born again, you're my sister. And I said to somebody, do you realize what that means? And he said, yeah, there's going to be a lot of fighting in the church. I said, no, you got the wrong, that's the wrong application of this. I get it, but that's the wrong application. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. That's amazing. That is amazing. Brothers and sisters. First, let me ask you, as far as application here, are you a member of God's family? Yes. Have you been born again? And if you haven't, you know what you need to do? Right now, you need to stop right now. And you need to get born again. You need to cry out to God. Because there's a way that we can enter into the family of God. We need to turn from going our way to go God's way and put our trust in Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. And when you trust him, he'll come into your life. And then you are born into the family of God. Amen. If you haven't done that, just cry out to God right now in your heart. Cry out to him. But you can come in and your sins will be forgiven. You come into the family of God. Then there's another application. If we're in the family of God, for a Christian, listen, and I'm preaching to the choir here, I know this, but for a Christian to choose not to be connected to a local church is to make oneself a spiritual orphan. Yes. Do you get that? A spiritual orphan. A child of God with no family relationship. Now, there are going to be people that listen to this sermon online, listen to this sermon by CD. If any are not connected to a local church, you need to get connected. You need to get connected. There are people telling people, leave the church today. Leave the church. I say, get in a good church. Get in a good church that preaches the word of God and where you have Christians that love the Lord, because you're part of the family. You don't want to be a spiritual orphan. And then there's some Christians or people that say, I'm a Christian, but they bounce from church to church to church. You know what they're doing? They're making themselves foster kids. Foster children. You know how foster children sometimes are bounced from home to home to home? You know what they need? They need to get in a good, loving home where somebody will love them. And we need the church. We need each other. We're the family of God. We're the family. You know what? Linda and I think it maybe was easier for, when I got saved, I'll tell you right off the bat, it was God working in my life. I loved the church. I did. We got plugged into a church. I've said this before. I was 150 miles away from my parents up at Penn State University. And no one told me to go to church. No one was there. Wake up, Les. Get up. Come on. Come on. Get out of bed. Come on. You got to get to. No one did that. I got up and we went to. I went to church because I wanted to be with God's people. I mean, I think it's kind of like natural. And wherever we went, you know, Linda and I, when we got married, we got graduated and we got married. We moved from Pittsburgh to Detroit. And so, you know, we were 5 hours away from our earthly families. So you know what? The church kind of became our family. Away from our family. The church was our family. We realized that. Then we moved from Detroit to Chicago to go to seminary. We were 10 hours away. And the church, it was like our family. And then we moved here, and we're only 2 hours away from our nuclear earthly families. But, you know, the church has always been so precious to us because the church has been our family. And you know what? The church is your family. The church is the family of God. And I love the church. I love the church. There's a second reason I love the church. It goes right along with this. But I love the church because it's a great and awesome family. You know, some of you grew up in good families. And some of you did not grow up in good families. Some of you grew up in it because I know you. Or I know many of you. Grew up with alcoholic parents. Some of you grew up in a home where there was anger and hostility all the time. Some of you grew up in a home where there was abuse. Some of you grew up in homes where one of the parents was not there. They weren't there. And some homes are not good homes. But I'll tell you what, there is a family that is a great and awesome family. In fact, it is so awesome. It is so awesome. It's God's family. Yes. Why is it so awesome? Let me give you a couple reasons. Because we have the greatest Father. We have the greatest Father. God Himself is our Father. And again, on earth, there's no such thing as a perfect father or a perfect mother. But I'll tell you what, we have a perfect heavenly Father. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." He's a perfect Father. He's a perfect Father. It says in the scriptures, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks it shall be opened." And which one of you fathers, if your child asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? And which one of you fathers, if your child asks you for a fish, will give him a serpent? And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more? I love those words, those three words. I love that word. How much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give you all good things and the Holy Spirit to him who asks? I'll tell you what, we have a good Father. A good heavenly Father. You know what? He is good. He is always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He always wants our best. And he is committed to bring out the best in you as one of his children. Isn't that something? And even when we get off track a little bit, he loves us enough to what? Yeah, they go after us or sometimes discipline us. He has to discipline us sometimes, but he does that in love. We have the best Father, an awesome Father, a perfect Father, the Heavenly Father. and the family of God. Another reason that makes our family so awesome, we have the greatest brother. The greatest brother. In God's family, Jesus Christ is our brother. Really? Oh, yeah. Romans 8:29, what does it say? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. Or over in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. He calls us brothers. Jesus. If you're in God's family, Christ is your brother. And friends, he is a brother that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know what? He has your back. He has your back. He's there. He's going to be there no matter what we go through. Christ will be there for us. Christ will be there. Again, maybe your earthly family left much to be desired. Maybe you had a good family. But I'll tell you what, this is the greatest family in the world. If you're not a part of it, you need to become a part of God's forever family. And then when we receive Christ and we're born into God's family, we've got to remember, we've got to watch how we act. You know, when children kind of reflect on their parents. Now, I don't think that's always fair. Come on, parents, amen, amen. That's not always fair. But they do. You know? And how we act kind of reflects on our father and our brother and the family. Queen of England, when she would send her children out to play, she'd say, remember, you're children of the king. Act that way. And as children in the family of God, we need to remember that. Because sometimes you've heard it always said, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one, you know? We got to be careful. We need to live and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We need, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because how we live reflects on our Father. And just as Jesus has our back, you know, in the family, we need to have each other's back. Okay? And I love that in this church, because when a person's hurt, there's people that are there ministering. And I love that. I'll tell you, you ministered to me this year. I've gone through physical illness. Many of you know that. But man, I felt your prayers. That's right. I felt your prayers. I knew that the church was there. And that's the family of God. And I love the church because it is God's family. I love the church because it's a great and awesome family. Number three, I love the church because it is a family with beautiful diversity and unity. I love this. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to have some people come forward right now. Arthur, come on up, brother. Where's Carl Tan? Come on up, Carl. Marona, come on up, sister. Come on over here. Come on over here. Take a family portrait.
There it is.
Selfie, man.
Yeah,
selfie.
Selfie.
Smile.
That's right.
See the family likeness? Look at the family likeness. This is my brother.
That's right.
This is my brother. Daddy. We got the same father.
Yes.
We got the same brother, Jesus.
Yes.
You know, you see the diversity?
Mm-hmm.
You see the diversity? And we could have others come up here because we have people from India. We have people. Oh, take that picture.
Yeah,
ready?
Right.
Got it? Got
that's
it?
Right. That's right. That's right. That is right.
All right, hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. You know what? And we have people from Mexico, and we have people from all over, you know? But the diversity, we're one in Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. We're one in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? See, the world needs to see this. The world needs to see this. We're one in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But we're a diverse group. We're a diverse group. It's beautiful, though. So I'm going to call some other people up here. Jackson, come here. Come on, Jackson. Hey, Mark Rush. Come on up. Come on up. Might as well come on. Oh, let's get a couple teenagers up here. Where's Caleb Sudry? Come on, Caleb. Come on, make your way up here. Come on up here. Brownlee. What did I say? Sudry? I'm sorry. It's old mind here. Alvin, could you come on up here? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come on up here. Come on up here. Just take your time. Take your time. You know, they talk about generation gaps. Oh, we can't relate to the generation gaps. I want you to see something right here. Look at these people. How old are you, Jackson?
11.
11 years old. Do you know Jackson knows the Lord? He loves Jesus. Do you know he committed himself to full-time mission work? Did you know that? Yes, yes. He's called into the mission field, weren't you, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So praise the Lord. I look at Mark here. I'll tell you what. He serves the Lord in Child Evangelism Fellowship. He wants to go now on a short-term missions trip. Didn't you say that, Mark? Well, Belize. Belize, praise God. No, by the way, I look up to our teenagers. I do. I really do. Praise Jesus. Caleb here, I was told something about you, Caleb, by that guy over there, that you got a Strong's Concordance. Mm-hmm. Was that right? Because he got a Strong's Concordance because he wants to study God's Word and do word studies and study God's Word because he loves the Lord and wants to know his Word. Praise God. And then there's this guy over here, Alvin. How old are you, Alvin?
95.
95 years old in God's church. Praise God. Amen. And we're brothers in the Lord. And you know what? No generation gap. No generation gap. Because we're brothers. Amen?
Amen.
You want to do a group hug? No. Okay. Okay. Praise God. I'll tell you what. Isn't that wonderful? That's the body of Christ. You can go sit down. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, that's why I love the body. That's why I love Christ's church. We're a family. They're my brothers in the Lord. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We're one in the Lord. Praise God. And I look out over here. You know what else I see? Diversity. I see all kinds of gifts. I look out. I see people with the gift of teaching and preaching. I see gifts. I see gifts of hospitality. I see gifts of administration. That's not one that I have, but I see gifts of administration. I see gifts of mercy. I see gifts of helps. I see all kinds of gifts. There's diversity of gifts here. Everyone has different. Some can have gifts in leading in worship. I see you. You know, and they're all different. And isn't it beautiful that God puts us all together? It's just like an orchestra, right? Somebody said that. I just heard that. Like all the different instruments playing together, and it makes beautiful harmony together. Isn't that wonderful? And I look out and I see all kinds of personalities. I see some of you that are sanguine personalities. You know what a sanguine is? That's like the Apostle Peter. That's like people that jump out of airplanes at 12,000 feet, like six of us did a couple years ago. I mean, that's sanguine. I mean, just, you know, crazy people. I see ya. I see some melancholy, you know. You know, most of the prophets were melancholies. you know, but that's kind of more the really feel intense feelings and sometimes get down. I see some cholerics and phlegmatics and all kinds of personalities. And we're one family. The diversity is beautiful in the body of Christ. And yet it's diversity in unity. There's a beautiful unity. Look, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because we have a unity in our family. A unity. And in Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 6, it tells us of that unity. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Yes. That's our unity. Yes. We don't have to create it. It's there. Never in the Bible does it say, now you get into the church and create some unity. It doesn't say that. But it does say that we are to diligently maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's important. We've got unity, folks. We have unity. We got diversity. But we're one in Christ because we're the family of God. We are God's family. Now, what does that say to us? There's beauty there. There's beauty, but I'll tell you what. In that beauty, Satan tries to get in and cause division. We have unity and diversity, but he'll try to get in, just like he does in families, earthly families. He'll try to get into the church family and divide us. And split us. He does that. That's one of his tactics. But I'll tell you, we've got to diligently maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace because we're family. Yes. And you know, there's a lot of evangelistic strategies. You know, you can read books on how to have evangelism, how to reach the world for Christ. But one that's not brought up very often is the unity in the church. Yes. When we're diverse like we are, and yet we're together, that's one of the greatest evangelistic strategies that there is. You say, where is that in the Bible, Pastor? In John 17, Jesus prayed, Lord, make them one, even as we are one, so that the world may know that you sent the Messiah, me, into the world. Amen. How are they going to know? Well, I'll tell you what. They're going to look at the church and see people, all kinds of different races, all kinds of different colors, all kinds of different socioeconomic statuses. One in Jesus. Amen. And they're going to say, how can that be? And then we tell them, it's Jesus Christ. We're part of the same family. Yes. We've been bought by the blood. You know, we come from the same blood. Come on. We do. I love this. I love the church. It's the family of God. It's a great and awesome family. I love it because of its diversity and yet its unity. And then lastly, I love the church because it is a family environment that provides opportunities to grow. Provides opportunities to grow. And we all know babies and children grow best in families. Pastor Tony Evans writes, when there are children in the world who have been orphaned or who are not part of suitable families, we want to get them into good families. We don't want those children out there on their own. Why? Because we understand that children grow best connected. I like that. They grow best in families. And God has designed the church to be a family so that we can grow with each other. We can, listen, grow connected. with all its diversity, with all kinds of personalities, we're commanded to love one another as Jesus loves us. Is that always easy? Come on.
No,
that's not always easy because people are different. But the word love is the word agape, which is a gracious love for the unlovely, a love that does not depend on the worthiness of the recipient. We are to love one another in the church. Not always easy. I read one book. It said, light always attracts bugs. Light always attracts bugs, and there are people in every church that will bug you. And you probably bug others in the church on occasion. But we're called as God's family, listen, not to just tolerate each other. We're called to love each other. We're called to love each other like Christ loved us. And I don't know if you realize this, but there is over 100 one another statements in the Bible. And those one another statements, many of those, are ways of living out the overall statement, love one another. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out to you. What are some of the one another statements in the Bible? Somebody give me one.
Love one another as Christ loved the
church. Okay, love one another. What's that?
Bear one another's burdens.
Bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ.
Forgive.
Forgive one another.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Okay, love one another.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Okay, that's true. Come on, don't you know any of the other one another's? Oh, let me give them to you. Okay, let me give you some of the one another statements, okay? Bear with one another, accept one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, build up one another, exhort one another, stimulate one another unto love and good deeds, be kind to one another, be devoted to one another, comfort one another, pray for one another, in honor preferring one another, greet one another with a holy kiss, serve one another, bear ye one another's burdens, admonishing one another. And the list goes on. And all these, the church provides the environment where we can practice these one another statements and demonstrate to the world that we love one another.
Amen.
And thus they'll know what? There were his disciples. Didn't he say that? By this will all men know that you are my disciples, by how good of a sermon you can preach. No, that wasn't it. By the way you love one another, the world's going to know, hey, that's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is the place where we can learn how to do that. Because you know what? There's no perfect church. Because it's made up of people like you and me.
Amen.
And so it's sometimes it's tough, right? But this is how we grow.
Yes.
This is how we grow. Now, I want to say this. You know, I said Carl Tan is my brother, and I love this brother. But some of you don't know, he's got a real problem. He's a Cleveland Browns fan. And I'm a Steelers fan. And I love him. That's agape love. That is agape love. And I'll tell you what, I tell Carl, you can be a Browns fan and still be saved. But you can never have assurance. I love you, brother. You know what? See, we're all different, aren't we? But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, maybe there's somebody in the church that's really tough for you to love. Here's the challenge. Go love them. Go love them. Let me just share. There's been times people in the church were hard to love. I remember one time in the church, there was a person in the church, just snubbed me. I mean, I walk up to this person, and I hate to say this, but they would turn their back. It's true. So I'd just go up and I'd bear hug them. And just say, I love you, brother. That's what we gotta do. That's what we gotta do. And when we do that, you know what happens? We grow. If we get offended and we, oh, I'm going to another church. You just take your problems right to the next church and you don't grow. Right? There's no such thing as a perfect family. Right? Anybody here have a perfect earthly family? Would you raise your hand? No liars in the church today. That's good. That's good. That's good. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. But you know what? Because there's no perfect family, you don't check the family institution. Oh man, there's a lot of divorces in the church and family. There's abuse in the family. There's all kinds of things that go on in the family. We're just going to do away with family. And we'll do it our way. People are doing that. But that's not right. And just because the church isn't perfect, you don't throw out the church like so many books are saying today. Get rid of the church. You don't do that. You start being the church. You start being the way we're called to act. And where can you find anything like this? Like what? Like this? Well, maybe you can find it in a gang. But I don't advise you to go out and join a gang. What I advise you to do is get connected in the church. That's what God wants us to do, because the church is God's forever family. It's a great and awesome family. It is a family with beautiful diversity and unity. And it is a family environment where we can grow. If we choose to, we can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the family of God. Would you say that with me? We are the family of God. Go be what you are. Lord, we just thank you so much. I just love the church. I love your church, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to act like the family of God, to treat one another as brothers and sisters in the church, and to really give the world a tangible picture of what you're like, Lord. I pray that we would grow and we would be all that you want us to be, that the world would know, that we would love each other, Lord, that the world might know that we're your disciples. And when people see that kind of family love, I know they'll be attracted to you, Jesus. So help us. Help us, Lord. And if there's somebody in the church that we're having a problem with, help us to pray for them. Help us to love them and overcome evil with good. Help us to do that, God. And we just thank you for our church. And you're just such a wonderful God to give us such a beautiful church. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.